Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is November 11th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, guys, who would have thought we'd be here? The Dolphins are now on a two-game win streak, moving their record to 2-7. They defeated the Indianapolis Colts by a score of 16-12, and that drops the Colts to 5-4. Now, of course, the Colts were without Jacoby Brissett, which would have made a huge difference in this game. There's no denying that. They had to start Brian Hoyer, who looked pretty poor in this game. And then the Colts were also missing T.Y. Hilton, which was a huge factor because, as you will hear, some of the bigger names for the Dolphins in this game were guys on their secondary. If T.Y. Hilton's there, it's probably a bit of a different story. But the fact is, they were out. The Dolphins played against this team on the other side of the field. And you know what? They came out and looked pretty darn good. Now, of course, it's going to make a lot of people frustrated if you're part of the tank team, if you're hoping for a tank and get Tua. This makes that scenario a lot less likely. And it also means if the Dolphins were to want to get one of these guys, they may have to, in fact, use some of those precious draft picks to trade up and go get their franchise quarterback. I'll talk more about that after we discuss the game. So the offensive side of the ball was not the strong point for this Dolphins team. If you look around on the stats, no one offensively really blew anyone out of the water. It wasn't really one of those Ryan Fitzpatrick huge monster games. He finished 21 for 33, 169 yards, and he did have a pick in this game. There was also an instance where he was driving the field. They had terrific field position, and for some strange reason, the officials elected to pull him out due to the concussion protocol, but they did it in a very delayed manner. It was very strange. It was enough that if the Dolphins were actually competitive this season, that would be enough to be infuriating. That's something that could not be happening in a more competitive atmosphere. But given what the Dolphins are doing this season, it just seemed like a really odd situation. Now, as for the rushing, it was another week with really nothing to build off in terms of having a rushing game. We had Kalen, nothing to prove, Ballage get the start in this game. He finished 20 carries for 43 yards, 2.2 yards per carry. Now, I'm not going to say it's all his fault for having poor performances, because as I said earlier, whoever's out there for the Dolphins at running back, chances are they are not doing good when they're given the opportunity. But Kalen Ballage just does not have any sort of creativity when it comes to making people miss, when it comes to hitting holes, when it comes to finding openings. He just runs straight into the back of his offensive lineman, it seems like every time. And that may work if you had an offensive line that was creating a severe push, if they were making a huge impact and giving you space. But right now for the Dolphins, it seems like almost every carry that is given to Kalen Ballage is just a waste of time. It's just a wasted carry. There is nothing happening there. I don't know if the Dolphins even see him as somebody that they would like to continue to use in the future. So I'm thinking, incorporate more Patrick Laird, who we did see a bit of in this game. Incorporate more Myles Gaskin. Maybe even get a free agent running back that is just kind of a potential gem. Because whatever's happening right now with Kalen Ballage just almost seems like a waste of time, at least in my eyes. Now, Patrick Laird, you know, I'm the self-proclaimed leader of the Patrick Laird hype train. He made his appearance in this game, 2 carries for 4 yards. Of course, that's not anything crazy, but he also had 2 catches for 15 yards. So again, a total of 4 touches, not a huge sample size to really say that he deserves more touches, but he did showcase when there was the time, that kind of explosiveness and that kind of aggression as a runner that I really like from him in the preseason. So I would hope that the Dolphins start to make the carries split more evenly between Kalen Ballage and Patrick Laird. Now, as for the receivers, it was a big outing from Devontae Parker yet again. It wasn't a huge monster game, but he did finish with 5 catches, 69 yards, and he had 10 targets. Also had an opportunity to catch yet another touchdown this week, but he was hit as the ball arrived. It was also led a little bit too far, so it made it a little bit more of a difficult catch than it had to be, but there was a real chance Devontae Parker could have had another touchdown in this game. Now, Mike Gesicki, the tight end, wasn't really able to build off of that huge week last week. He had 3 catches for 28 yards, and he did have a fumble in this game. So I was hoping to see a little bit more consistency from him and hope that this turned into more of a weekly outing for him. That was not the case. It was just a really low offensive performance in this game. And not to say that they were playing poorly, but it was just largely, in fact, due to the defense being the dominating side of the football for the Dolphins in this game. So we move on to the Miami Dolphins, and the guys that I have to point out are the guys in the secondary, because they did terrific. I mentioned Nick Needham last week as one of the best players on the field with Jamal Wiltz. Well, Nick Needham in this game yet again came out and looked terrific. And I'll say, T.Y. Hilton, if he's there, I'm probably not talking about Needham in the same manner. But you know what? He did very, very well in this game. I roasted him a ton in the preseason. So as of right now, I'm not going to completely eat my words and say that he's somebody who is a starter in the NFL. I'm not saying that he could do this against any guy or that he has some long-term impact for this team in the future. But in this game, he had 6 tackles. Great, 3 pass deflections, and he just seemed like he was playing each opportunity perfectly. He wasn't getting burned. His positioning was great. He wasn't finding himself in opportunities where he could get a pass interference call. Everything from Nick Needham in this game just looked terrific. Another guy that I have to give a huge shout out to is Vince Beagle. Now, this guy looks like a huge, just monster version of Kiko Alonso. They rock the same number, but Vince Beagle is just a hungry guy. He's just a dog, man. I don't know how else to say it. This guy is everywhere on the field. He's not the most athletic guy, but it looks like every single play, he is the hungriest. He had this chase down, I believe it was on a 3rd down, where the play just went to the completely opposite side of the field, and this guy was just nose to the football, just getting there. The guy is a beast. He ranks among some of the best in QB pressures, and it was definitely felt in this game. He made a huge impact. And another guy, Jerome Baker, led the team in tackles with 8. Eric Rowe was another solid outing from Eric Rowe as well. And then Christian Wilkins, it may not show up on the stat line as much, and I think his position is one of the difficult ones to kind of evaluate, because they're not always going to be making these plays. They're not always going to be on the stat sheet getting sacks and tackles, but what they're going to be doing is disrupting the offensive line, disrupting the whole beginning of a play for an offense, and I think that is what he was doing a lot of the time in this game. He was getting just a huge push at the line of scrimmage, and it was making a huge impact in my eyes, whether it was on a run, whether it was on a pass. It just seemed like Christian Wilkins, though it didn't show up on the stat sheet, was making his presence felt a lot of the time in this game. So if you look at the Colts side of the offense, Brian Hoyer had 3 interceptions in this game. Stephen Parker just had this terrific interception that I think should be getting a lot more credit. When I saw it, I thought that was a SportsCenter number 1 top play of the week. It was a touchdown to Eric Ebron, but then while being twisted and turned around, Stephen Parker reached in with one hand and ripped it out before he completed the motion of the catch. It was incredible to me, and I saw a lot of people discussing it very casually, like if it was just a random strip, but I thought what he did was incredible. I thought it was a very heads-up play, and the fact that he was able to contort his body and come down with the interception like that, I thought that was extremely impressive. Bobby McCain also had a pick. He was lurking in the center of the field. This guy has some wheels. He was able to track down the ball, get a pick towards the sideline. I thought that interception was very good as well. And then the other interception was by probably my player of the game in this one, and that was Nick Needham, who came down with a very clutch interception to seal the deal in this game. So Brian Hoyer again, 3 picks. He also had 204 yards. If you look at the rushing for the Indianapolis Colts, 74 yards, 3.9 yards a carry for Marlon Mack. It was a very up and down game for him. It looked like he had the potential to break out plenty of times in this one, but they were able to clamp him down. Bend but don't break sort of mentality here for the Dolphins. It was a great win. So now we move on to the overall view of this game, and I think many of us are surprised that the Dolphins are looking this well. I know I'll eat my own words, because I said I would be shocked if the Dolphins won even one, and honestly, I'm still pretty shocked at how well they're playing. The lack of talent on the roster is still there. It's not like they went out and got anybody and made the team better. This really is a testament to the coaching staff, the development of players, guys getting these opportunities that are very valuable and being able to learn from them and build and become actual NFL players. A lot of people are calling this an XFL roster. And while that is a little bit too harsh, I would say, a lot of these guys definitely would not be starting. And here they are putting up these great performances and getting wins. A lot of it, again, goes to Coach Brian Flores and his staff. Now, this season is fun to watch now, in a sense, because of the development of these players. Guys like Nick Needham, who I was roasting all preseason, he comes out here and he's looking good. That makes this game fun to watch. That makes me a little interested in what he could do for the future. It makes me curious about what his sort of trajectory will be. What is his ceiling? Things like that. Things like Mike Gesicki in the last game, making a big performance, having me thinking, okay, is this his arrival? Jamal Wiltz having big games. Christian Wilkins as a rookie coming out and dominating the guy in front of him. And then Devontae Parker, kind of a resurgence from him being able to stay healthy and him being able to produce these pretty solid numbers. These are the things that don't make this a lost season for the Dolphins in my eyes. Those are the things that would keep me coming back as a fan. And it starts to show some of the foundation that this staff is going to lay in place for right now that could be what we see for years to come. So I do think this is a very pivotal season when many of us were thinking this was just kind of a lost season. This was a tank season, and the only purpose of it was being bad enough to get Tua. But it looks like that may not be the case. It may be much more important than that. So now, again, I know a bunch of people are mad about the win. I know a lot of fans are calling out other fans who are happy that the team won. And it's just so bizarre to me, because regardless of how you look at the team, whatever your viewpoint is, isn't affecting the outcome of this game. The Dolphins still beat the Colts, whether you were rooting for a loss or whether you were rooting for a win. So I don't understand why people are taking it upon themselves to call out other fans, kind of make it like a witch hunt, look for anyone, dig through their receipts on Twitter, and try to find anybody who was rooting or happy about a win. It doesn't make sense to me, because the outcome's still going to be the same, and I don't know why you are trying to divide a fan base in this manner. Now, trust me, I get it if someone's saying some absolutely ludicrous stuff or they're just completely hating on the team, things like that. I know there are some bad bunches in terms of a fan base, but being happy with a win is not necessarily something to completely call out somebody over. Now, again, yeah, it will be frustrating if the team doesn't get Tua because of this. I understand, but it doesn't affect anything if you're rooting for the win, if you're rooting for the loss. The outcome's still the same. It is completely just that person's viewpoint that you're attacking them over when you're having these arguments on Twitter. I really just don't get it. Now, the last topic for the day, I want to discuss a little bit about the Chiefs game versus the Tennessee Titans, because, of course, that game, the big headline is that Ryan Tannehill led this team to a victory. Some even saying he outdueled Patrick Mahomes. All the headlines, Ryan Tannehill leads the Titans to a victory. Many people taking to Twitter, former Dolphin fans, where was this Ryan Tannehill? I have friends that didn't ever follow the Dolphins saying, dude, Tannehill's good now. What the heck? He wasn't good with y'all. I don't think people are looking at this the right way. If you look at Tannehill's stat line in this game, everything he did for the Titans in this game, this was the same Ryan Tannehill that was here in Miami. People don't understand. When I was against Ryan Tannehill because he was average and it seemed like that's where he topped out and his time was played out. It was never that he was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. He was a middle of the pack guy, and that is still kind of what he is. He is efficient, but it ends at that. He is never going to go and give you the little extra spice that you need or that extra elite prowess at the quarterback position. He's never going to do that, but he is going to be an average quarterback to a T. So he was never bad. Ryan Tannehill was on a Dolphins team that would beat the Patriots almost once a year. They beat that Chargers team when Kiko Alonso had that clutch pick six. They beat that Steelers team that had Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger all together. But the thing is, the narrative was never that Ryan Tannehill carried the team to a victory. He was putting up just about the same stat lines as he is right now with the Tennessee Titans. I will admit his Titans ones are slightly better, but in this game in particular, This was a very Ryan Tannehill-esque performance. That clutch fourth quarter drive, that kind of just keeping the team afloat, being a game manager, but still stepping up occasionally here and there. Derrick Henry had more rushing yards and Ryan Tannehill had passing yards. And nobody's talking about Derrick Henry. All the hype is that Ryan Tannehill outdueled Patrick Mahomes, which isn't true at all in this game. He was on a team that beat Patrick Mahomes and he did his job. And I think that's the only way it should be put. But of course, I understand the hype around him. Titans fans are hyped because they got a shiny new toy. They're finally getting some production out of their quarterback position. There needs to be some sort of hype being built there. So I understand that. But for the Dolphin fans saying that, why wasn't this Ryan Tannehill here? Did we make a mistake? No, trust me, we're fine. We're going in the right direction. Ryan Tannehill is playing well, and you should be happy about that. See him move on and do well for another franchise. I don't think anyone should hate on Ryan Tannehill, but just understand that this situation is working out for both sides. It doesn't have to be a one-side loss this because Ryan Tannehill won a game against the Chiefs where he threw for sub 200 yards. There's nothing to dig up there, I think. And I think if you're mad about it, then you're looking in too deep at what's happening. So guys, that's how I'm gonna wrap up my episode. Feel free to reach out on Twitter. That again is at Shady Steven or at Via the Source. If you have any questions you would like me to discuss, please feel free to send them my way and I will discuss them on the podcast. Guys, as always, it was a pleasure to be your host. Until next time, I'm Steve Amasso and this was Via the Source.